Wrecking Ball Radio.
This is Davin's Den.
And we are back. Thank you guys for hanging out with us on Tuesday or whatever night you are listening to this on Davin's Den. Oh, a little update from last week. That judge who used the N-word while watching a video of our car being burglarized, she resigned. She's gone.
Good. Good.
Yeah, I mean, I can read you some of the details, but basically, it became untenable. I mean, you know, nobody wanted to put up with that shit, you know, because then they were going to review all the, like, civil rights cases and everything that she looked over. She had to go, so.
Yeah. There's no way, sorry, but Ambien doesn't make you racist. Roseanne was right about that one.
Ambien doesn't make you racist. I feel like that's they should put that on the advertisement.
I think they probably did.
You know, in certain parts of the country, that might be an undesirable effect, that it doesn't make you racist.
Well, it doesn't take your racism away, so you're still good. It's not contraindicated for racist.
All right, let's do some School of Fools. All right, in the latest School of Fools, the popular Christmas song Jingle Bells was removed from a New York elementary school's music curriculum over its questionable past. The decision to drop the song was first reported by the Rochester Beacon in New York, prompting the Brighton Central School District superintendent in a December 28th letter to defend the move at Council Rock Primary School as an effort to be more culturally responsive, thoughtful, and inclusive. It may seem silly to some, but the fact that Jingle Bells was first performed in minstrel shows where white actors performed in blackface does actually matter when it comes to questions of what we use as material in school, Superintendent Kevin McGowan wrote. The decision partially stems from an article about the song's origins written by the director of Boston University Arts and Sciences Core Curriculum, Professor Kaina Hamill. Council Rock principal Matt Tappan told the Rochester Beacon. The professor wrote in a 2017 article that the song's legacy is a prime example of a common misreading of much popular music from the 19th century in which its blackface and racist origins have been subtly and systematically removed from its history and replaced with superheroes such as Batman smelling and Robin laying an egg. So that is what happened culturally there. We removed the minstrel and we started slandering our fine, upstanding superheroes. Hamill said the song might have been first performed in 1857 in Boston by a minstrel performer. A minstrel show commonly performed in the early 19th and 20th centuries was founded on the comic enactment of racial stereotypes, often involving white performers with their faces painted black, according to Britannica. This wasn't liberalism gone amok or cancel culture at its finest, as some have suggested, McGowan said, of the school no longer performing Jingle Bells. When Hamill was notified about the elementary school's decision, the professor was shocked, according to the Rochester Beacon. My article tried to tell the story of the first performance of the song. I do not connect this to the popular Christmas tradition of singing the song now. You know, I always like when my carolers show up in blackface. Makes it more festive for me. What?
Why?
Because, you know, it's the snow in the background. It really makes them stand out. The black and the white is a nice contrast. It reminds me of a black and white cookie. I like it. So please, show up in blackface when you want to serenade me. Carol at my house. The very fact of Jingle Bells' popularity has to do with the very catchy melody of the song, and not to be only understood in terms of its origins in the minstrel tradition, I would say it should very much be sung and enjoyed, and perhaps discussed. Do we really have to discuss Jingle Bells? I really rather discuss the source of Batman's odor. Why does this man smell? I mean, he's got everything in that utility belt, but he doesn't have deodorant. What is the problem here?
And how did the Batmobile lose a wheel?
I mean, really? Does he not have AAA? What the hell is going on? And now the Joker got away. It's really horrible. We need to discuss.
A grown man is popping out an egg and you guys have nothing to say about it?
Well, I mean, is Robin really a grown man? I don't know.
When did he lay an egg?
Mostly. That's what I'm saying.
Same bat Christmas, Carol. Same bat ass. Tune in next week to see if Robin laid an egg. McClatchy News has reached out to Hamill for further comment. Instead of Jingle Bells, other songs will be used, according to McGowan, who said in the letter that taking away the song wasn't a major policy initiative, a banning of the song, or some significant change to a concert repertoire done in response to a complaint. This was proactive. This was very simple, simply a thoughtful shift made by thoughtful staff members who thought they could accomplish their instructional objective using different material. Fair enough. When told of Hamill's reaction to the school's district's decision, Brighton Central School District Assistant Superintendent Allison Ryu told the Rochester Beacon that some suggest that the use of collars on slaves with bells to send an alert that they were running away is connected to the origin of Jingle Bells. Oh, how about that? Jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way. Oh, what fun it is to ride in a one-horse open sleigh. Slave! Okay, I guess that's how it originally went. You know, you're having a nice night out, you know, pre-Christmas, you're in your one-horse open sleigh. I mean, you don't have a huge plantation, you don't have two horses. And, you know, you're having a nice time with your honey, and then there's slaves darting across. It's a good thing we put those bells on those collars. Otherwise, we'd have slaves running away. You can't have slaves running away.
It doesn't say one-horse open slaves.
Oh!
But he probably thought it was.
One horse open slaves. Hey!
There's also a second verse in that song, which me, two kids, and one lady knows. Are the only people that know it. And it's like a day or two ago, I decided to take a ride. Fanny Wright was right. I barely know. It was right by my side. The horn was Lisa Lang. I forgot the rest of it, but nobody knows that. But it has nothing to do with slavery. This is horse. Yeah.
While we are not taking a stance to whether that is true or not, she continued, we do feel strongly that this line of thinking is not in agreement with our district beliefs to value all cultures and experiences of our students. On the Brighton Central School's diversity and equity page, in regards to the kindergarten through second grade music curriculum, a response was offered for the question, how can I teach music to my students in a way that is culturally responsive? I don't know. Throw in a couple more dreidel songs in there. How about that? Let's start there. In researching ways to best answer my essential question and best serve the needs of all my students, I start with revising the curriculum and content used with our student council. Council Rocket said there were songs that had been previously used, taught by me as well, that had a questionable past. Examples of these are Canoe Song, Ching-a-ring chaw, excuse me? I don't know what that means, but it certainly sounds racist. Ching-a-ring chaw. It sounds like Joe working out his material in 1994.
What the heck is this?
I feel like it was like Joe's first Santa Claus. I went to an Asian house. It was Ching-a-ring chaw. Like, I feel like that. I feel like that's what that is. That sounds
cool. I have sung that song. It's part of my act. It's the most popular carol that I sing, and I have sung that over 11 years in front of every nationality and creed that there is. Nobody ever got offended. Everybody loves the song. It's the most popular carol. So
You sung Ching-a-ring-chaw? That's the most popular.
That song. Stupid.
Well, no, you're the stupid one. That's what I'm talking about. And then you went pontificating about how everybody loves it.
Talking about Jingle Bells.
Little Liza Jane, Cumberland Gap, Jim Along Josie, Jump Jim Joe, Shoe Fly, that one I know, and Sue Lullaby. These songs were replaced with more contemporary and relevant content according to the school. This is not a political...
There's a hole in the bucket.
Dear Liza. Is that the song?
Dear Liza.
Oh, that song's always in my head. Usually when I'm cleaning out the fish tank and I have to carry a bucket. Why is that there's a hole in my bucket, dear Liza, dear Liza.
Because it was part of the core curriculum for music in the schools in the district that we both went,
But why is that offensive?
No, it's not offensive. It's just that those songs came out of, because they were slave songs. It doesn't mean anything negative.
They were slave songs?
Yeah, because Liza and Henry were slaves, and they were singing to each other about their chores.
Oh. Okay.
But it's a folk song, and that's who happened to sing it, but it doesn't say, slavery was good, slavery was right.
You know,
the only way you get into slavery is if you happen to be white. Oh, God.
Now that's the lost third verse of Jingle Bells.
That is.
Well, really what...
That's the KKK all the way. That's the verse that nobody knows.
Joe, did you catch Pip's choreography to that rendition?
Oh, yeah. She's got it down.
Yeah, pretty much. I was in choir.
Not with those moves.
The Klan?
The Klan choir.
Don't put the tree too close to the cross. You'll set it on fire again.
The Klan choir. Holy crap.
I mean, I don't know. I mean, listen, there's so many songs. If they want to replace it, they can replace it. But I don't think anybody knows the history. And they're not even sure. But, like, the minstrel history, I mean, I guess the most proactive thing they could do about it was, if they wanted to, and I don't remember this in elementary school, they could talk about the history of the song and go, listen, we're going to do the song, but it wasn't properly performed as a minstrel show, which we don't do now. I mean, I don't know. It is a popular song, and it doesn't reek of slavery.
It doesn't reek of slavery at all. I mean, I've got to sing the damn thing every fucking Christmas. You know, I mean... Well, Joe,
I think you just made the slavery point. It sounds like you're a slave. You are forced to sing that damn song every Christmas.
Yes. I work for Miss Joni.
Miss Joni says sing the song, boy. Sing the song. Sing the jingle bells, boy.
Now, sing. December.
So the thing is that this one person who is, you know, doing research and happens to know and has uncovered the history of minstrel singers doing this song at its first performance, but right now it is so divorced from that most people, I would say, The vast majority of people have no idea that happened.
Thank you for saying that. And also, like I said, the joy the songs bring, there's no connotation to slavery in the songs. It's one of the most popular Christmas carols it is. And for a song that you might, you know, was in several minstrel shows 164 years ago, is bringing joy to people at Christmas. Joy of every nationality, joy at families. It reinvented the song for good through the connotation of Christmas. So this asshole to sit here and go, oh, we're not going to sing. You can't be that fucking stupid. And this is why parents still need to be in charge of their children's education with the schools.
No. I mean, I don't agree with this guy, but trust me, there's plenty of stupid parents that can't even be in charge of their own family.
Nonsense like this crops up. You know,
no, listen. I mean, but this doesn't hurt anybody. I mean, there's no victims in this. You just go, really? It seems like a little much. But nobody's actually getting hurt because they don't do jingle balls. They're doing jingle bells. They're doing other Christmas songs. Nobody's missing out.
It's become accustomed to be sung at Christmas time, but it's really extremely secular. There's nothing in the song about religion either.
Listen,
and it's also one of the few Christmas songs that are upbeat. I've got to do, like I said, you know, this year I'm doing my Christmas shows, and I'm like, you know what? I got to redo some tunes here because, like, if you do, we wish you a Merry Christmas. It's slow; not many people know it.
Jingle Bell Rock. Jingle Bell Rock's an upbeat one.
I'm sorry.
Jingle Bell Rock.
That's probably going to go in next year. You know, Jingle Bells is another one. Rudolph is another one because you're trying to entertain people. A lot of Christmas songs are sad and slow, you know?
Yeah.
And We Wish You a Merry Christmas is a nice one. It's okay. Up on the Rooftop. That's a fun one to sing. I didn't really do this one this time, you know, but... it's an upbeat song. There's no negative connotation in it. If there was, it was 156 years ago in a minstrel show. Anybody that could have been offended or did the song has been dead and probably dust in a casket. And this guy's got a problem with it.
Well, like I said, I mean, I don't really care either way. I mean, because they're doing other Christmas songs. So it's not like anybody's going to be scarred if they don't hear Jingle Bells sung by the second graders. We're all going to be fine.
I don't know. out.
You'll be fine.
Because, as you know, I might shock you with this, but I'm a big fan of Steve Winwood. And many a time, I have walked away from concerts hearing people whelping, even sing Valerie! Get over it.
Yeah, but here's the thing. Here's
I'm
the
over
thing.
It.
That's bullshit. He should be singing. I love that song. That's, no,
I do,
I'm
too.
Right now. He's not singing Valerie? I
no.
No,
nobody's paying.
Shut up. Why isn't he doing that?
I don't know. Last time I sat down and had tea with him, I tried to get him to put it in the set, but he wasn't having it.
Nobody's paying $50 a head to hear second graders sing Jingle Bells. All right?
Well,
it's not the same. Like I said, you could take it or leave it. I see it both ways. It's so fucking stupid. I mean the guy was hunting around to find something. But
it's really a stretch.
It's a stretch, but like I said, nobody's Christmas is going to be ruined because the second graders didn't sing the song.
This guy is an asshole cuz he writes, "Well, the fact is that Jingle Bells was first performed in minstrel shows where white actors performed in blackface, and it does actually matter. It was 156 years ago. The connotation..." Why am I yelling at you? "The connotation doesn't exist anymore. It's a joyous song that's been sung by all nationalities. The only problem I have with Jingle Bells is that second verse that I never can get, and nobody fucking knows anyway."
All right. Moving on to Eric Clapton. This was Pip's blog for the week. "When a German woman listed an Eric Clapton CD on eBay over the summer, she thought the rock music purchased by her late husband decades earlier could fetch her around $11 in the online marketplace if she was lucky. Instead, it somehow got the attention of Clapton, who sued the woman for copyright infringement and accused her of selling a bootleg CD of one of his live shows from the 1980s. Now the 55-year-old widow, who did not sell the CD and claimed she did not know it was bootleg, owes thousands of dollars in court fees. A German judge on Wednesday sided with Clapton in the lawsuit, ordering the woman known only as Gabriel P. pay nearly $4,000 in court costs for copyright infringement, according to the German news outlet DW. The woman, who lives in Rantingen, a small German town about an hour outside Cologne, claimed her late husband bought the CD, Eric Clapton, live, USA, at a department store in 1987. She told the court she did not know she was infringing copyright when she listed the bootleg recording of one of Clapton's concerts on eBay for about $11.20. The CD was listed for one day before it was removed, but a judge with the Dusseldorf Regional Court rejected the woman's appeal this week, saying it did not matter that she did not purchase the CD or know it was an illegal recording. The court also ruled that if she tried to sell the Clapton bootleg again, she could face up to 6 years in prison or a fine of nearly $282,000. And I say, don't let the law keep you down. You sell the CD, woman. You get that $11.20. You tempt Eric Clapton. Klaus Gunther, the woman's attorney, did not immediately return her request for comment Friday. He told Bild, that's the newspaper, that she planned to appeal again. A spokesperson for Clapton did not immediately return a request for comment. Michael Eaton, Clapton's business manager, told the Washington Post last month, that given the depressingly bad standard of journalism reflected in certain recent articles, Eric Clapton has no desire at the moment to engage with the U.S. press. Eaton told The Guardian that Germany is a country where sales of bootleg counterfeit CDs are rife, because we're all clamoring to hear what fucking Eric Clapton has to say. No, Eric, no! Don't give us radio silence! You're so relevant, you fossil!
If he's going to complain about everything, you should say bars on windows are important.
Joe. Oh.
Too soon?
No. I support that. You know, listen. There's tears in heaven and blood on the concrete. We don't judge. Anyway, along with... What, no, Pip? No, what's the matter?
No!
All right, well, jingle bells, jingle bells.
That's what he said that day when he looked down.
Yeah. Yeah, hey, maybe don't worry about the bootleg CD. Maybe worry about where the fuck your kid is, stupid. I was just searching the eBay when my kid fell out the window. But I feel the trade-off was worth it.
Don't take me with them.
You can't go where we're going. We're going to the land of comedy. You're not welcome. She's not going. She's not going. We're bringing the funny. She wants no part of that.
Oh,
What? I'm not the one who fucking let the kid play by the windowcell.
Yeah. You have covered clapping. You don't have central air. You don't need a window open.
He didn't do it either.
Where was it? In a hotel or something?
No. It was his baby mama.
Oh, well.
He wasn't there.
Well, maybe he should have been. What?
Wow.
I mean, it's a terrible story, but I mean, you know, all things considered, he should worry about that shit. Along with a number of other major artists and record companies over a number of years, Eric Clapton has, through German lawyers, successfully pursued hundreds of bootleg cases in the German courts under routine German copyright procedures. The legal win for the musician comes at a time when Clapton has become one of the most vocal critics of coronavirus safety precautions in the entertainment world. During the course of the pandemic, Clapton has released multiple songs, which nobody gives a shit about, criticizing lockdowns, conducted a lengthy interview with vaccine skeptics, and pledged to perform only where fans would not be required to be vaccinated. Still, nobody cares. Nobody cares. You're not Robert Plant. Nobody gives a shit anymore. They don't care.
Clapton has got as much clout as Plant does.
I know he does. Listen. He's an iconic guitarist, but he's been out of the public eye for so long, nobody gives a shit. You got to pop up every once in a while, not just when a kid makes a Gravity a thing. You got to be around.
No. He can still bring crowds. You're wrong on that.
Clapton's
not bringing crowds if he's not fucking doing press in the United States. If he doesn't want to talk to the media, nobody's going to fucking know about his concert. Nobody's going to show up if it's not covered in the TV and the newspapers and everything.
Well, yeah. If you plug the gig, people are coming.
Right. You know? But he doesn't want to talk to the press. Okay. Nobody's coming, stupid. That's all I'm saying.
Listen. I'm not sticking up for the guy. He's got a big mouth, and he could really be an asshole.
Let me finish this.
All right.
And then you could take it away. Clapton's turn against vaccination and COVID-19 restrictions have left many friends and fans puzzled and frustrated. Why are you puzzled and frustrated? He's an old fucking cranky guy. Who cares? He's not fucking Mensa. He's a guitarist. Fucking relax. Why do you give a shit? Anyway, I'll move on.
Because he's Clapton. He's slow hand.
All right. Slow hand and slow brain. Who the fuck cares?
The tastiest guitar players ever.
Okay, I'm not taking away from that, but I don't give a shit about his opinion on vaccines. I love Steven Tyler. I don't need to talk. I don't need to talk. Nuclear fusion with fucking Steven Tyler.
I know what he did present a paper on it. It started out like this.
Yeah, I knew that was coming.
I knew that was coming.
Yeah. That's Joe's go-to Steven Tyler.
Thank you for your welcome comments, Mr.
Yes. Tyler. Nobody I've talked to that knows Eric has an answer, drummer Jim Keltner, who has known Clapton for 51 years, told The Post last month. We're all in the same boat. We're all going, I can't figure it out. I wish he would shut up so we could fucking make some money again.
Yeah, and guess who's the drummer that's not going on the next tour?
That's true.
Absolutely. Yep.
It's unclear how Clapton, who has sold millions of records during his decorated career, was made aware of a bootleg CD being sold online. Well, he's not touring. He's got time. In Germany in July. Attorneys for the 76-year-old musician sent an affidavit to Dusseldorf Regional Court saying that the illegal recordings featured on the CD were made without Clapton's consent. After Clapton's legal team reached out to the woman, she replied, I object, and I ask you not to harass or contact me any further. I said good day, according to The Guardian. She also allegedly told Clapton's legal team that they should feel free to file a lawsuit if you insist on the demands. She had moxie and spunk.
Spunk!
They told me Eric Clapton had complained, she told Bild in November. My husband bought the CD in a department store. Now not somewhere under the counter. It was above counter. Yet the judge ruled this week that she will need to pay about $3,800 in legal costs for her and Clapton. Costs are usually minimal unless the case is argued in court, which is what happened here, as the lady instructed her own lawyers. Now that the full facts of this particular case have come to light, The intention is that the formal German proceedings will not be pursued any further. Gunther, the woman's lawyer, has vowed to take the copyright infringement case to the European Court of Justice, the European Union top court. How do you even argue that? No. It's fine that he didn't give permission. It's me. It's my dead husband. It's okay. I guess that's the legal argument. All right, Pip.
Well, the argument was, too, is that, look, it was bought at a department store. I had no clue it was a bootleg. You know, I thought it was a legit thing. Now, where she put her foot in cow shit is when Clapton's legal team reached out and told her to stop, and she said, no, fuck you. Game on. You know, that's where she screwed up.
Well, I mean, if they were smart, if this department store was still in business, fucking sue the department store if there's proof.
Yeah, but you want to know something? If they tell you to stop, you stop. Look, there's a band called Voyage. It's a Journey cover band. Has my buddy Hugo as the lead singer, who is the spitting image of Steve Perry. There was a thing by Giant Stadium, an outdoor festival where bands were playing, and Voyage gets up and starts doing Journey songs. Word gets out that Journey reunited with Steve Perry, and they were playing in this parking lot, and it looks like Steve Perry might be rejoining Journey. Meanwhile, Hugo's phone rings, and who is it? It's Neil Sean telling him to knock it the fuck off. He didn't say fuck you. He stopped. I mean, in the bed, you know. So you know, it's a crazy world we're shit.
All right, Pip.
Wow.
So this was your blog. What do you got, if anything?
Well, the whole thing is, I mean, Clapton has been an asshole for a long time. He really has put his foot in it. And, he's a well-respected guitarist, and I like his music. I really do. But the thing is that, he's older. The stuff he's putting out lately is just like, he put out an album called Old Shoe, and oh my God, that was
it
a great title.
It probably smelled like one.
Old Sock, that's what it was.
Or as the kid, as the kids called, Old P.U. Thank you. Thank you.
Yes. So, calm yourself, Clapton. But the other thing is that he shoots his mouth off about political topics, but he takes the most outrageous stances. And this whole anti-COVID vaccination thing, I really do think he's on the wrong side of history and everything with it. However, he's getting a lot of bad press right now. Perfect timing to dive after a widow over her $11 score on eBay, which she didn't even get money for it. However, a lot of musicians have been ripped off because, you know, people are stealing their intellectual property, and they have every right to stop that if they can. Now, to my mind, and you know, people are going, oh, what is he doing, sitting there watching it? And he's not sitting there watching eBay sales and stuff. He's got somebody that looks out for copyright infringement, and then they take those people to task. And just like Joe said, at first I was like, oh, what an asshole when I first started reading this article. But then I went, really, he's getting legitimately ripped off. His team went in and said, you know, hey, knock it off, which they've probably done a million times, especially if they're saying that copyright infringement is rife in Germany. So they write their letter and they say cease and desist, and people usually go, holy shit, and stop, and undo their sale. And she went, I will not, I am offended, and I will sell the thing I want. And then she goes and basically says, game on, bro. So they sued her.
Right.
And she got what was coming to her. Feel free to put your argument in court. She did. She lost. She has to pay court fees. So it's not big, bad old Clapton coming after her for $4,000. It's she played with the bull. She got the horns. And I don't think that he's wrong in this case. As much of an asshole as he's been lately, he's not wrong.
He's not wrong because a lot of bands have to tour because they can't make albums and they're not making any money on albums. Plus, the legacy on, selling their residuals on albums are not there from downloads. And like, you said, I mean, they said, please cease and desist. And she threw down the gauntlet. Feel free to file a lawsuit if you insist on the demands. They turn around and said, well, fuck you then. We are. Got to pay. You lost and you got to pay. You made that choice.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
All right. Let's move on. Another guitarist, Ted Nugent, in the news. The Nuge. One thing that probably all sides of a divided nation can agree on, Ted Nugent, for better or worse, is almost certainly never getting into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. And the right-wing rocker says he's fine with that, claiming he'd just as soon not be part of a hall that includes members he considers unworthy. A list that stretches to include Madonna, Patti Smith, Grandmaster Flash, and ABBA. Who does Ted Nugent think should be in the Hall of Fame besides himself? If the judges were a little more discriminatory, Styx and Triumph. The thought of a pioneering hip-hop artist in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame so upsets him that in an interview published on KNAC.com, Nugent says it's tantamount to urinating on the graves of rock's original pioneers. What a middle finger to those real heroes of rock and roll and rhythm and blues to put in those other people. Grandmaster Flash, really? Why don't we go down to Chuck Berry's grave and piss on it? Okay. Is that a thing we can do? Insisting it's nothing personal.
P.P. rock and roll.
Insisting it's nothing personal, Nugent says, I'm not angry that I'm not in there because I'm having so much fun that it's stupid. But he asks, why isn't a band like Triumph in there, but Grandmaster Flash is? That's just dishonest. Why are Patti Smith, ABBA, and Madonna in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, but not Styx? Are you kidding me? You can only explain that as that the people who made those decisions are just plain rotten people. That's the only explanation, kids. The Rock and Roll Hall of Fame should genuflect to Chuck Berry, Bo Diddley, Howlin' Wolf, Muddy Waters, and the Funk Brothers. How dare you put Grandmaster Flash, ABBA, and Madonna in that? Nugent's disdain for Democratic politicians and entertainers who fail to take his right word a stance as it has... His inevitably comes up throughout the interview. He cites Kisses Gene Simmons as someone I love immensely, as one of the true great musical entrepreneurs of all time. But also my critical thinking responsibility must address that he dropped his independent thinking intellectual ball when he sided with the illegal, unfounded, tyrannical decrees from punks like Fauci and Joe Biden regarding masks and experimental shots. See, if he would just think exactly as I do, then he'd be independent. I don't understand why he can't be independent and think exactly as I think. Anyway. stupid. Where's the independent? Why won't you be independent like me and do exactly as I say? What is wrong with you? Thank goodness you have me to be independent for all of us. Now just listen to me.
He's having so much fun. It's stupid.
It's stupid. And I know stupid. Experimental shots when he's always stood up for his mother who survived Auschwitz. Stood up for his mother. Yes, what a brave stand by somebody standing up for their mother. He defied the truth, logic, and common sense of the Nuremberg trial. So, Gene, I love you. I can help you because you had a hiccup. Please, if you could only be as successful as me, the Nuge, you too could play C-level casinos. Moron. Kyle Rittenhouse, a hero, naturally. Yes, I am sending Kyle Rittenhouse a lifetime supply of proper ammunition. Not improper ammunition, proper ammunition. It will be polite ammunition. It turns out, according to Tucker Carlson, who, remember kids, let's review, Tucker Carlson, who Fox News argued in court, said only a fucking moron would believe what Tucker Carlson said, and won. So yes, the news is saying, like Tucker Carlson, whose own attorney said, he's a fucking idiot, don't believe him. I'm never going to let that go, by the way. Never going to let that go. When your own company argues in court, yeah, he's a fucking tard. and the only people...
And making a million.
Oh, that's fine. Well, yeah, because people are more stupid than him. That's fine. I have no problem with that. You know, rip off the masses, sure. Turns out, according to Tucker Carlson, Kyle and his mother are big fans of mine. Kyle, his mother, and possibly Tucker are hoping to meet up with me in my ranch in Texas for a little deer hunting, campfire, and maybe a little lesson on tactical upgrade. So when evil is attacking, you can neutralize it. Hopefully forever. Because when this shit goes down, I need a man with a bad ass. The last thing I want to hear is Wang Jang Sweet Poon Tang. New...
Wow.
Nugent,
the last thing you want to hear, do you?
It's the last thing I want to... We're doing a tactical upgrade, so when it's time for me to meet the maker, I want to hear Wang Dang, Sweet Poon Tang, as the Motor City Madman finishes his C-level casino and takes care of me. Nugent also addresses some of the stories that have circulated about him over the years, like the claim that he was a hypocritical draft dodger. He traces that back to an interview with High Times magazine in which he contends that he fooled the dirtbag reporter by bringing up details about escaping the draft that were actually true of his drummer at the time, KJ Knight. Here's the big question. How stupid, soulless, dishonest would one have to be to take information from a publication titled High Times to condemn someone? One of the worst crimes of mankind is to falsely accuse. It's a false accusation. What type of moron would have an interview with a completely disregarded publication? Oh, I'll show you! Your publication has no credibility, so I'll talk to you. What a fucking moron. At least Eric Clapton has the good sense to go, fuck you, I'm not talking to you. But no, Ted Nugent's like, no, you have no credibility, fuck you, I shall talk, and I'll give you a story about one of my bandmates who probably didn't want that shit out there, because I'm a good guy.
This will be a good use of my time. Let me talk to a disrespected, a magazine.
Isn't there a loincloth he should be getting fitted for? He also defended accepting a Purple Heart from a veteran despite not having served in the military. When a U.S. Marine sniper forces you to close your hand around a Purple Heart that they earned by telling me that they believe that I've earned it by fighting for the freedom that their buddies died for, I can only humbly bow my head and accept the gesture. I continue to serve for America unofficially every day of my life. All right, the first part, fine. You know, you could go either way on the Purple Heart thing. That's fine. Serve for your life. You're a rock star, dude. Relax. You're not on the fucking front line. You're hunting animals on your property making jerky. Settle down. Nugent has
He's not saying that he said that he was, like, fighting for freedom and
no, he said,
way. That's what the vet said.
No, I continue to serve for America. No, I can only humbly bow my head and accept a gesture. I continue to serve for America unofficially every day of my life. That's Nugent. Nugent bowed his head. Yes.
You're right. I misunderstood that.
Yeah, like I said,
he continues to serve for America unofficially, with his statements, which he believes is speaking out against the left. Somebody gives you a Purple Heart, story's true, I guess so, but if the story's true, and the guys say, well, you earned it by fighting for, the freedom that their buddies died for, in that moment, you can't say no, you accept.
No, I don't, listen, if the story's true, if the story's true, I'm not picking a fight with him over that. It's fine.
Okay.
Nugent has a new album coming out in February, Detroit Muscle, via Pavement Music. You know Pavement Music. He claims he sent a copy of the pro-gun single, Come and Get It, to Beto O'Rourke and Joe Biden with a note, if they want to take away our First and Second Amendments, they may make a knock at my door first. I'd love to help inform their thought process. That's a cocky statement, but you can go ahead and quote me on that, because you're not High Times. Thank God for the great people at Pavement Music in 2021. They heard the song and said, whoa, that's the real McCoy. The real McCoy! Except no imposters. Nugent is on fire, and the band is on fire, and nobody gives a shit. Okay. Joe, I'm going to start with you, because he went after one of your faves. He went after ABBA, who are pop stars.
Yeah. It's very interesting how to classify. Now, Grandmaster Flash, there were rap groups that are in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. It's the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Grandmaster Flash couldn't be in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. It was funk and rap. Patti Smith should be in the Hall of Fame because she was one of the pioneers of punk rock. ABBA is one of my favorite bands. Are they a rock band? No, they're a pop band. Did the kind of cement their way with redefining how pop music is? Because in my opinion, the song Waterloo is the most perfect pop song ever written. It's perfect. Are they a rock band? There were guitars and stuff in there, so that's debatable. Did Styx be in there? Yeah. Did Triumph? I don't think he did anything remarkable. Did Blois the Cult? Yes. Did Iron Maiden? Yes. So it's kind of a personal, you know, a personal opinion on that. But I don't think pop. Madonna? Madonna wasn't rock.
No. But nobody had a more rock star lifestyle than Madonna in the 80s and 90s. She was.
Was it rock music?
You know what, though? But it's not rock. They should probably just rename it the Music Hall of Fame. They probably should rename it at this point. Because, I mean, they're putting not rock and roll, but that's so subjective now.
Because the thing about it is who gets in and who doesn't get it. It's almost like when we look at comics. That guy, but he's not that good. You know, it's like Madonna gets in, yet Iron Maiden doesn't. Black Sabbath practically had to beg to get in. So it's, you know, very, you know, it's where you stand with, you know, with your bands and what bands you feel should be in and who should not be in. I don't think the funk bands or the punk, you know, the funk bands or the rap bands should be in. It's not about that. It's rock.
But rock is dead. So we'll have no new bands going forward.
No, there's plenty of good rock bands out there.
No, not popular. Not that are influential. Not that are like making huge album sales. There's not a lot of new bands.
Well, the thing about it, and the interesting thing about it, is there hasn't been bands or a movement that's changed everything. The last time that happened, that was with Nirvana.
Well, no, I got to push back. I got to push back on you because in the early 2000s. You know, we had bands like Limp Bizkit that for a while we were doing that rock rap thing. I mean, that was very popular back then.
You know what, though? Yeah, and, all right. For that, yeah, it was. It changed it.
Yeah.
But there was still scooty rock and, you know, rap. Well, you know what? In that time, it was right around grunge. It was right around that time because grunge, you had grunge, and grunge was coming in along with the funk with rap rock.
Rap rock was about a decade later. Where it really got popular.
Well, you're talking about the name, yeah, maybe a little bit, but you took like the Chili Peppers and that.
Well, Chili Peppers have been around forever.
Yeah, but still, they got popular in the early 90s. Also, in the late 90s, you had bands like Korn and stuff like that, which changed it. What the hell was I going to say? Basically, with rock music now, in my opinion, of heavy rock music. Every band I hear is still trying to do Disturbed's first album. You know, it's kind of got generic, and I don't know where that's going. And that's kind of why rock is where it is. But still, there's nothing like rock. You know, there's still nothing like rock music for Rebellion and stuff like that. I remember.
Oh, wait a second. Hold on. The new Rebellion music is a lot of rap. Rap is the Rebellion music now. Right, yeah, so if you want something rock and roll lifestyle, a lot of these rappers are the rock and roll lifestyle. It's fluid. It's not a straight line. I mean, it branches off. Like I said, I don't care one way or the other. It's just a fucking club to hang a plaque. I don't give a shit one way or the other. I think they should probably just rename it the Music Hall of Fame. But the rock stars today are your rappers. That's really what it is. Like the biggest.
But they're not playing rock music.
They're influenced by rock. I mean, a lot of these bands are influenced by Run DMC, and Run DMC had a little bit of Aerosmith in them. I mean, you know, and Aerosmith was influenced by Led Zeppelin, and Led Zeppelin was influenced by these blues bands. You know, it all, and a lot of these rappers are influenced by blues. It all kind of comes, it just sounds different, but a lot of them have the same influences, and rock was known for Rebellion, as you said, and the rebellious ones are a lot of these rappers today. That's what.
So make the rap Music Hall of Fame. Make the rock, you know, rock is rock, you know?
But if,
maybe they will come up with a Rap Music Hall of Fame.
Just make it. Just
but the thing is that...
One, tell you the truth. But, I mean, rap is not that young. Rap is over 30 years old. You know, time flies, but rap is over 30 years old, so it's not like this new music. It's been around for 30 years.
Been around longer than that.
Longer.
Generations of the style.
It's been around since the 70s.
Rap is more like 40 years.
It's been around since the 70s.
Not like 70s, but you can even see the evolution of early rap.
And Grandmaster Flash.
Sugar Hill Gang.
Sugar Hill Gang. Absolutely.
With gangsta rap, which was really good, you know, Body Count, bands like that, you know.
Yeah, so Body Count.
Genres within the genre.
Yeah, but who was more rock and roll than Ice-T back in the day and Ice Cube? I mean, it's all but your perspective. If rock and roll is just guitars and drums, then okay, then yes, then that's what
you know. What though? You see, the lines get blurred in some ways where you could say like N.W.A. was phenomenal. I mean, it influenced us in Rock Gut a lot. I mean, which was a rock band, a punk rock band. But was it rock? No, it wasn't. Now, if you go, well, what about Body Count? Body Count is on that defining line where it was rap rock. Where if we should go in the Hall of Fame, well, you want to know something? It was a very heavy band and had a lot of rock influences, but it was rap. You could go in there as a subgenre of that, you know. So it really gets. You know, you also have your things. Like, I think it's crazy that Iron Maiden isn't in. It's crazy that Black Sabbath, you know, it took years for Black Sabbath to get in. And it's, you know, it's a very elite club, elite people that decide on this. So it's all over the place on this.
Well, do you remember when Paul McCartney was inducted and his daughter wore a T-shirt that said, "About fucking time"? Because, I mean, really? Took you that long?
Yeah. The thing is, I'm sorry, when Metallica lost to Jethro Tull for Best Heavy Rock, which made no sense.
Well, that's
the Grammys.
That's the Grammys.
That's different.
That's a different thing.
Oh, all right. But still, that's how it gets crazy. I mean, because Tull was, you know, progressive.
All right, Pip, finish your thought, and then let's move on.
Well, thing is that... Oh, sorry.
No, Pip, finish your thought, because you've been trying to talk, and we've been talking over you. Go.
That's okay. I'm just saying that, you know, if you want to sit around and smoke a bong with Lester Bangs and define the walls around one genre that we call rock and roll, you can do that. But the thing is that there's a continuity between all the early artists that have been inducted and the way that it continues to grow and change. They're all different branches on the tree. I mean, I think that if you narrow cast, you could say, yeah, ABBA shouldn't be in there, Madonna shouldn't be in there, rapper shouldn't be in there. Well, they can get their little houses too, but it's all outcroppings of rock and roll.
Well, to that point, the most sampled artist by rap bands is Billy Squire, who is a rock star. So, listen, Ted Nugent is just bloviating because that's what Ted Nugent does.
That's what he does.
He's fucking ridiculous. That being said, you can make the argument that Ted Nugent does belong in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. You could make that argument.
I think he should be. And also with Billy Squire, you're absolutely right. And people have been wondering how I think that I haven't really put out albums. He goes, making more money from getting residuals from samples than I ever did from doing my album.
Yeah, I mean, Ted Nugent has, as Ted Nugent always often does, has a very narrow focus. You know, you got to expand. I get it. The pure, oh, it's not right. It's not, there's no drums. There's no guitar. Yeah, but like Pip was saying, look at how it all flows together. Who the fuck cares? Now, to Joe's point, yes, Iron Maiden should be in, but you know, there will be at some point.
But you know, you got Grandmaster Flash that's not really a rock band that gets in, and meanwhile, Maiden is still waiting.
But they will. They'll get in. You know, whatever. It's like any club.
It's been a long ago, you know?
Who cares?
And also, further getting with Ted Nugent, you know, Ted Nugent is obviously, this just in, Ted Nugent is a loose cannon. Also, if the article is basically is promotion for his new album, okay?
Yes.
Which he's bringing up the album and stuff like
which
that.
I expect will sell, well, which so, I expect will sell in the hundreds.
You know, and his base is extreme right wing. I mean, you know, you got your rock music fan. I love Nugent, but you know, you have his extreme right-wing fan base as well that he's playing with. And, you know, I mean, Pavement Records is not the biggest record label, and they want to return on their investment, so they want to go out there and they want to get some press for this.
Good for Pavement Records. I don't think anybody's blown away by a new Ted Nugent album going, this is the future. Listen, good for Ted. He has his fans. Play the casinos. Have fun with it. Do what you do, baby. But why the anger at ABBA? But
I know something. If I'm getting interviewed with, if you had me on and I'm interviewing Fragile Sky, we got the new stuff coming out. It's sounding great. We got a new singer on board. It's going to be fantastic. You talk up your band, you know?
Nah.
Absolutely.
Nah.
That's what you do.
It's much better to go after people who are much more successful than I ever was, like Madonna. Anyway, let's move on. Because you want to go after Madge. That's the move.
Oh, look, Madonna's in her camp has got her own issues. I mean, she's walking around, going on stage like she's still 21. She looks like a frustrated divorcee during a freaking mom's event at the high school. You know, I mean.
All that being said, icon. Madonna is an icon. You know, sure.
Absolutely.
She's lost a little bit off her fastball. She does some crazy shit. She's a little self-important now. Not disagreeing with that. Yeah.
But like I said, she's an icon. But he was just questioning her. He wasn't questioning her being an icon. He was questioning her being in the Rock and Roll.
Listen, when you're Madonna, you get to go into any club you want. That's how influential she was. This woman was hugely influential, influenced so many people, and she was a rock star. She put out a book about her just being naked. You don't get more rock star than that. I mean, she took on the church. I mean, you talk about being, she is a rock star. Is it rock music? No, not really. It's not my cup of tea. But is she a rock star? Fuck yeah, she is.
True.
All right.
Yeah, but like I said, and this will be the end point. It's frustrating when she goes in and there's really bands that really cemented rock and roll that still are not in.
They'll get there.
That's pretty much the crux of it, you know?
They'll get there. All right. From batshit to batshit. Former Trump National Security Advisor Michael Flynn this week pushed a theory that COVID-19 vaccines are being snuck into our salad dressing. Not in the croutons, into the dressing. Flynn was speaking this week with Clay Clark, the host of the conservative podcast, The Thrive Time Show, and Andrew Sorcini, a Beverly Hills-based precious metals dealer. Somebody sent me a thing this morning where they're talking about putting the vaccine in salad dressing. Have you seen this? I mean, and so I'm thinking to myself, this is the bizarro world, right? This is definitely the bizarro world, Flynn said. I mean, and me as a national security advisor, that's pretty bizarro too. These people are seriously thinking about how to impose their will on us in our society. It has to stop. What's next? The ketchup? Not the ketchup! Insider has reached out to Michael Flynn for comment, but he just went. The fact-checking site Snopes found that Flynn's rant might have been an indirect reference to an ongoing preliminary study about growing produce that could contain mRNA vaccine material without needing to be deep frozen. The study is being conducted by the University of California, Riverside, which said in a news release that it was working on growing plants that could contain the immunizing capabilities of a single COVID-19 shot. I gotta tell you, if I gotta eat asparagus or taking a shot, I'm taking the shot. There is no evidence that COVID-19 vaccines will be infused into salads or their dressings. Insider reported this month that Flynn and other high-profile Trump loyalists like Roger Stone and Lynn Wood are embarking on a Reawaken America tour. The events organized by Clark have been dubbed as Health and Freedom Conferences. However, these conferences have largely been vehicles for election misinformation. At one of the events in July, MyPillow CEO Mike Lindell baselessly claimed that former President Donald Trump won 80 million votes and President Joe Biden received less than 68 million votes in the 2020 election. And if you can't trust the MyPillow guy, there is no evidence of widespread voter. Yeah, we know all that shit. Flynn himself has previously claimed that COVID-19 was fabricated as a distraction from the 2020 election. Well, yeah, but why is it still now? Shut up! In a video this August, Flynn said he was participating in the Reawaken America tour, not to be confused with the Disney on Ice tour, to criticize COVID-19 safety measures, which he called COVID craziness, which also, by the way, Ted Nugent is playing guitar on that album. I highly recommend it, the COVID craziness album. Flynn, a retired general, pleaded guilty in 2017 to lying to the FBI about conversations he had with Russia's ambassador and resigned after just 22 days as Trump's national security advisor. He was pardoned by Trump last year. Of course he was. All right. So much. All right. First of all, this guy was a national security advisor. Apparently, he needs to be on quality control at Hidden Valley Ranch. That's where he needs to be. We don't need him dealing with Russia. We need him looking at what's going on in the ranch dressing. I can't have celery and carrots and fused with vaccines. I won't stand for it.
I won't pour for it. It's really scary.
Well, look, he was on a show, and he was talking about, and he didn't say, this is directly, somebody sent me a thing this morning where they were talking about putting the vaccine in salad dressing. Have you seen this? I mean, I'm thinking to myself, this is bizarro world, right? It's definitely bizarro world. He's talking about a thing he saw. Now, Snopes turns around and says, well, it might have been an indirect reference to an ongoing preliminary study about growing produce that could cause mRNA vaccine material without needing to be deep frozen. But what they're getting at is he heard this story, a loosely based story, mentioned it. Snopes turns around and goes, yeah, but a loosely based thing, it could have been on this. This wasn't a hard fact that he said. You know, it's something that he loosely heard. And then Snopes, who, everybody goes to, even though I think they're up to no good, Snopes turned around and said, well, he might have got it from this study. He wasn't grandstanding on it. He just mentioned it in conversation.
I don't know.
So I'm thinking if he did, he probably got it from here.
I don't know. Shouldn't a former national security advisor not be dropping comments from the spam filter? I don't know. He's doing an interview with a Precious Metals guy. I mean, shouldn't we be talking about like metals?
If he's on a talk show, he's not at a podium giving.
No, there's been that. This guy's full of shit all the time.
But it was a talk show where he mentioned this thing he might have heard. Check this out.
He's a fucking loon.
Also on the COVID thing. I mean, look, if you're dealing with the COVID, you could, just putting this out there. And if you want to, conspiracy theory, in some circles, and sometimes it looks a little fishy that COVID might have been put upon the world. Because they wanted to take care of Trump and get Trump out of office.
And they showed him. They're so good at taking care of Trump, they're now taking care of Biden. Oh, the nefarious plan.
Now, to see how the 2022 midterms go, that if the Democrats have a thing that they turn things around, it could look good. Because, the Democrats got problems.
I'll tell you what, Joe. I think the Republicans put this COVID thing to take care of Joe Biden and the Democrats. That's what I think.
What I'm saying is this, is that everything is just up to discussion.
No, it's not. No, it's not. No, no. I don't cater to stupid.
The possibility that they put COVID upon to disrupt Trump because Trump was so anti-China, and now that it's...
No, he wasn't! No, he wasn't! He
was keeping it going to turn it around for the 2022 midterm?
He wasn't anti-China! He was kissing Jing's ass! He was kissing Jing Pao, whatever his fucking name is. Look at all the fucking video footage!
Whatever.
He was kissing that China leader's ass. He was not. Please stop it. The only thing up his ass more was an egg roll. Ridiculous. No.
The reason that theory.
With all the tariffs he was putting on China, I'm not saying this is true. But just as conversation.
But that's the problem. Too many stupid people have too many conversations that other stupid people hear. Less talking. I've said it before. Some of you should not talk.
No, Joe, I think it's disingenuous to say, well, isn't it worth discussing? Not if the case, the thing that you're bringing up is wrong on its basis. You can't look at every opinion every theory as equal.
Wrong on the basis where?
Because can you really think that any government or any political group in this day and age would set out a biological weapon to make one person look bad?
Have you seen China's human rights lately?
Yes! Yes, and Donald Trump...
Americans!
And Donald Trump... Donald Trump on China's human rights said, no, it's good. You should keep the Uyghurs and re-education camps. So we know how tough Trump was on China. Stop it. I'm too educated for that. Trump was a pussy for China until it started looking bad for Trump with COVID-19. He had all the confidence in the world that China was going to handle it and was being forthright with us until it turned out, oh, shit, they weren't. Stop it.
Hey, the truth, he's been one of the few people that have been tough on China. You know, I mean, with the tariffs and everything, and like I said,
nay, I must stop you right there. I don't want to get into the whole thing, but Obama had in place where all the Pacific Rim countries and the United States were against China to contain China, and they wouldn't do business with China unless they played by our rules. Trump dismantled that, which is the best thing he could have done for fucking China. That's what happened. We had something in place to try to keep China at bay. Now, you can't really keep China at bay for long. They're a huge economy. They're a powerful country. We're going to have to deal with them. But it's a myth that everybody, that China was walking all over the United States until Donnie Two-Tone Orange took fucking office. It's a myth. And you can look it up. All right, enough of that.
I deal with it all the time with imports. And I could see what he was doing with the imports.
Well, it didn't work.
I do.
It didn't work.
I saw that, and I deal with it day in and day out.
It didn't work. It's fine. He tried something.
No. You don't deal with it day in and day out and where the imports are and how the imports work and stuff like that. I see it. And there was an impact on it.
Not working.
So much so that, you know, the discussion could be, you know, on the table that might have been a reason.
Listen, I don't need to hear from a convicted liar like Michael Flynn. But I will say, if he was picking a dressing to have his COVID shot, I think he would pick Russian dressing. All right, let's move on. I mean, I've had this story for a few months. It was just, when did I feel like talking about this moron, Michael Flynn? I mean, this has been out there for a little while.
That's been out there for a while.
Yeah, and now he's like, oh, QAnon's ridiculous, when he's been, like, spouting QAnon theories for months. The guy is a fucking loon. All right. Now into something important. The banned words from Lake Superior State for the coming year. We shall discuss. No more in 2022. Wait, what? Most frequently found in text or social media, this ubiquitous imperative question is a failed response to a statement to express astonishment, misunderstanding, or disbelief, explained a wordsmith. I hate it, added another, because the command query is an inexact method to convey the utterer's uncertainty or surprise. I don't want to wait. Either continue, the second impassioned nominator, misuse and overuse. I use wait, what? I don't have a problem with it. I to me, like, wait, hold on, what? Like, you have to circle back when they say, wait, what?
I think it's really useful because it explains that you're stunned, so you need a pause, and then you get to ask your question. Like,
yeah.
I think it really sums up how visceral some things are said. Like, you know, we're putting a vaccine in ranch dressing. Wait, what?
Perfect.
It's great. I like it.
No worries. Nominated by writers nationwide for misuse and overuse, this phrase incorrectly substitutes for you're welcome when someone says thank you. A further bungling relates to insensitivity. If I'm not worried, I don't want anyone telling me not to worry. Explicated. If I am upset, I want to discuss being upset. Despite its meaningless, the term is recommended to emailers by Google Assistant. I use no worries.
I use that. Come on, stupid. Speak. You're on a fucking show right now. I use that word all the time. Yeah, during the day. Yeah, I have no problem with that.
Yeah, I like it too.
At the end of the day, 20 plus years after original banishment of this phrase in 1999, the day still isn't over for this misused, overused, and useless expression. Many times things don't end at the end of the day, or even the ramifications of whatever is happening, observed a sage. Others consider a day an imprecise measure. Today, present times, banishment in 1999, overused synopsis of conversation or debate, often by politicians and pundits. Yeah, I guess you could get rid of that one. And it's overused.
I like it. I use that word every day. And at the end of the day, too, it's a good emphasis word.
And besides that, the criticism is ridiculous. Oh, if things don't end at the end of a day, have you ever heard of a metaphor, you moron?
It's just to close something out. If we go back and forth, and so far, so you want to say this and what you want to say that. At the end of the day, but it's a good emphasis word. I like it. I use it all the time.
I like it too.
That being said, nominators cited this phrase as verbal filler, redundant, justification, pompous, and posturing. For instance, however or but, even that said, does the job as a transition instead of the wordiness. Go ahead and say what you want already, demanded one entrance. That being said, its usefulness is certainly in doubt, as a commenter philosophized. At the end of the day, if you will, it already has been. I mean, yeah, it's kind of useless. I use it, but it's kind of useless. But
to me, it's another emphasis word. If I'm at the day program and, you know, I'm dealing with one of the factories, well, we want an 80-20 program, we want to do this, and we feel that the customer's right. Well, that's nice, but that being said, we're going to lose sales more, we're going to lose sales, you know, blah, blah,
yeah,
blah.
But their point is, you could say, I hear you, but we're going to lose blah, 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 without saying that being said.
To me, it's another emphasis word, and it's in my word toolbox.
Your word toolbox. Well, your toolbox is going to be barren if this keeps up. Asking for a friend. Misuse and overuse through deceit because the friend is a ruse. The cutesy phrase often deployed in social media posts in a coy attempt to deter self-identification isn't fooling anyone. Paraphrasing one sage, once used to avoid embarrassment, as in, do you know a good proctologist? I'm asking for a friend. Sometimes an occasional sitcom joke, now an overused tag with absolutely no relationship to its antecedent. This one, I agree with wholeheartedly. Asking for a friend is so fucking stupid, you know, when you're trying to be smarmy. Just fucking say your smarmy comment, you asshole. Asking for a friend. First of all, you have no friends. Second of all, you're not really looking for an answer. You have your fucking mind already made up. You, sir, if I see asking for a friend, I don't know this friend of yours, but I can identify you as a schmuck.
Well, you know what? I don't have a problem with the word. However, when you say asking for a friend, no, that's so you asking.
Yeah.
That's like, you know what?
That's what they're saying. It's stupid.
Yeah. It's kind of over.
Circle back. Treats colloquy like an ice skating rink, as if we must circle back to our previous location to return to a prior subject. Let's circle back about why to banish this jargon. It's a conversation, not the Winter Olympics, opined Grammarian, the most overused phrase in business, government, or other organizations since Synergy, which we banished in 2000. All right, I kind of like circle back. It means we got to look at this later. Let's go. We're going to do this stuff now, and we're going to come back to this later.
I don't like it. It reminds me of Jen Psaki just trying to defer shit. You know, I don't like the word.
Okay.
I don't mind it. I don't use it, but I don't mind it. I understand it has, you know, I mean, there are other turns of a phrase I suppose you could use to say, let's deal with that later. But it serves that purpose.
Deep dive. The only time to dive into something is when entering a body of water, not going more in depth into a particular subject or book, admonished a petitioner. Another stipulated that people who float the phrase aren't near pool, like lake or ocean or sea. They rather than dive deeply, they flounder shallowly in editing. Does anyone dive into the shallow end? You know what? I kind of like it. They're kind of being a little nitpicky here.
There's better words.
I don't mind it. I think that some of these criticisms are really very like surface level criticisms and very literal.
Yeah, I feel like it's a weak list so far.
Yeah, Yeah.
All right.
You know, it's the first time we've done this where a lot of the words they want to get rid of, I actually use every day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes, you me know. Too.
All right, new normal, which I believe Joe used earlier in the show. Overuse catch-all for ways COVID-19 affects humankind, and banishment finalists last year for similar reasons. Those clamoring for the old days circa 2019 use this to signal unintentionally that they haven't come to terms with what normal means, and a monitor elucidated. Oh, fuck it. After a couple of years, is any of this really new? Another speculated banished in 2012 for imprudence, defeatism, and apathy stemming from societal missteps. No, new normal is very apropos. Because, you know, yeah, like for instance, you have somebody scheduled to come to your house to clean it, but they canceled at the last minute because of COVID. That's the new normal.
Yeah, you know, I tell you, we've used it, and that's exactly a perfect use of the word. I just don't know how long the word is going to be apropos. Hopefully it won't be much longer if we turn this around and get things back to the way they were.
Well, Joe, if we no longer need that phrase, then that will be the new normal.
I'm sorry, sweetie. But, you know, Dav, at the beginning of the show, when you were ranting and raving about, you know, guys canceling and you're having a problem with help. It's the new normal. You got to deal with it, you know? So the word is useful, and it's an emphasis, you know, and it's a word that's dealing with current time, you know? Next year,
yeah,
it will not be. Hopefully, it's going to be, you know, hopefully we don't need to use it anymore.
It's a helpful term for us all to deal with the way that we're all grappling with this constant change to what we knew, and all of a sudden things have changed, and we're trying to, like, steady ourselves and find balance. And I think that it's a really useful phrase to be able to explain that to each other.
Yeah. Once again, to emphasize why you have to wait longer online, why you can't get people to clean your house. Well, it's the new normal. We got to figure it out.
You're on mute. People switched from in-person exchanges to virtual meetings to follow the social distancing protocol of COVID-19, and the unwitting, deafening silence happens on both sides of the camera. Overuse and useless is then due to ineptitude. A discerning submitter encapsulated the issue. We're 2 years into remote working and visiting. It's time for everyone to figure out where the mute button is, or as Quipster summarized, hello, hello. I never used this, you're on mute.
Never used it at all.
I never use it.
And it's kind of weird from a list that, Christ, I use most of these words all day long, you know, but I've never used that one. I could live without it.
Supply chain.
Same.
Word watchers noticed the frequent unfortunate appearance of this phrase toward the end of this year as the coronavirus persisted. It's become automatically included in reporting of consumer goods or shortages or perceived shortages. In other words, a buzzword, concluded one analyst. Supply chain issues have become the scapegoat of everything that doesn't happen or arrive on the time of every shortage, unnoticed another. The adverse result, overuse and ad nauseum. So say what you mean and mean what you say. Can't get any easier or harder than that. Every year, submitters play hard at suggesting what words and terms to banish by paying close attention to what humanity utters and writes, taking a deep dive at the end of the day, and then circling back makes perfect sense. Wait, what? All right, so that was them. Supply chain's kind of useful. What are you going to say? The shit's not here? I guess you could say that.
I use it every day. I mean, I'm on things that would be a two-week lead time, are now a four-month lead time. Like I said, the gas connectors that go behind your dryer and stuff like that, they're finally shipping. I've got orders from July of 20 that we're hoping will ship this week. I've other things where they can't get material to make something where usually it's available. Word I use at least three times every hour at the day program. So, yeah, that's a big word for me. It should be retired at all.
Use it every day. And since we're still issues with it. Yeah, since we're still having great issues with it, I mean, you can use other words for goods distribution. I don't know. But the thing is that this is, it's kind of an economic theory that people could not make concrete. You know, maybe it didn't affect everybody's life. They didn't realize it affected their lives. And so this term that we've all agreed on the use of it, it has made it understandable to people who didn't understand the bigger concept of it. Now everybody is on the same page because we have a word for it.
Yeah, I think this list was a little nitpicky, but all right.
Yeah.
So as we like to do, we like to give these words a farewell in a creative way, whether it be song, poem, or story. So we all like to do here. So Joe, start us off with your farewell
all
to
right.
these words.
Joe, read, please. I'm asking for a friend. Are we really going to settle for the new normal, or are we going to circle back and take a deep dive into what's going on? Wait, what? You're telling me with vaccines, boosters, and masks, people that did all this are still testing positive for COVID? That being said, we're getting tired of people mandating, restricting, and masking us, and then telling us, no worries, if we do this, we'll be fine. At the end of the day, you're on mute if you think we are winning this battle. Are we really winning this battle? Because more than health issues, the supply chain issues are continuing, which will keep inflation high.
Well, that wasn't fun. Pip, what do you got?
Well, I have a poem that is a self-help poem.
Okay.
Jesus, why can't I find it now?
Yeah,
this
segment really snuck up on you.
I know. No, it really did. I have it. Oh, here it is. Okay, sorry. Okay.
Glad you found it. We've only been doing the lead-in story for 15 minutes.
I thought it was a Word doc, but I emailed it to myself, so fuck yourself.
Wait a minute. Wait a minute. I need to find my poem. Wait, what?
Right. Okay. So, self-help poem by Pip Helix.
Okay.
Wait, what? You say your life's in a rut? Let's circle back. Get your life back on track. You can create a new normal. No worries. Make it formal. Unblock your supply chain. Don't say you're on mute to your brain. You're no longer asking for a friend. Take a deep dive into your mind is the mend. That being said, the answer's all in your head. At the end of the day, you'll find your own way.
Very nice.
Thank you.
All right. This is my house poem. House poem.
Oh, boy.
We're buying a house. We're in no hurry. Piece of cake. Have no worries. At the end of the day, it's the journey, not the destination. That being said, it was as fun as dry masturbation. You make an offer, but the seller has to circle back. Our offer is over asking. This is getting whack. You get approved, but underwriting has to do a deep dive. We double and triple checked. Do the numbers jive? Now I fight with the lawyer. You're a mute. The stress is mounting. A bag of BS in a $100 suit. Me getting fucked is the new normal. I feel like the victim of Jaws giving oral.
Holy shit.
We aren't closing on the closing date. Wait, what? Pack your shit. We're moving to a hut. You finally closed, but that's the beginning of the pain. The contractor says, don't blame me. Blame the supply chain. Are you getting screwed? Asking for a friend? Nah, the antics are just beginning. This isn't the end. There you go. There's my house poem.
That's very good. Very good. Ooh, getting oral from Jaws. Jesus. Ouch.
Yeah, the funny thing was the reality. You know, it's like with mine, it's like, well, it wasn't very funny. I'm looking at this. I think I wrote my regional manager this very same thing today.
Yeah. Joe's bringing his work emails to the fucking show.
I know, and I'm bringing my therapy to the show.
Well, I'm bringing my issues to the show, too.
Don't we always?
Yeah, but you and I couched it as a poem. Joe's like, and furthermore.
Yeah.
Today.
All right.
It's a free form work memo.
It really was. All right. Let's take our first break, our last break. We'll come back with Scamming Scammers. On the break, new music from On TV with Unity. You can learn more about them at khb-music.de. And Brian Barron with Junkie Boy. And you can learn more about Brian at fluttertone.com.